You know, turning your scriptures with us, we read the same scripture we read this morning on 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 19 through 18, just for our thought for tonight, try to continue on what we were speaking on this morning. Let's just start at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You notice he said in verse 15, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now Paul had the word of the Lord. So then he could tell us all about the things that was to be there, couldn't he? Let's just... As we go to prayer tonight, let's remember Gene and George that are not with us and the reasons why, and that the Lord would guide them to get everything straightened up and all, you know, made right with the Lord and everything okay. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your loving grace, and we ask you that you would just grant us understanding that we may know this day what our daily bread is that you would have for each one of us. We pray that you would bless, Lord, those that are not with us. You know the hindering reasons. You know why they're not here, the many that have walked with us, and especially like Gene and George, having problems, Lord, it needs to be straightened out. We pray that you would reach down and touch these. We ask that you would just guide each one. Save those, Lord, that we've requested week after week, day after day. We know in the Word, you said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We believe that, Lord, you'll grant these requests for the salvation of the souls of these that we long for and for the healing of the bodies. We pray that you might grant us understanding this night. Lord, send us some rain to take away this heat and the smog and the different things, Lord, that's come upon us and our gardens drying up. Send us some rain, Father, down from heaven that we may reap the increase of the harvest. That we, Lord, this old problems of life and not being able to breathe and different things is hindering so many people around the world. But yet we believe you'll send comfort to that. Guide each one now and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. You may be seated. I just wanted to try to continue on, if we could, tonight and just pick up the thought and maybe move right on with the message that we've been trying to speak on, how that the Lord does something and then he reveals it, and then he'll make it manifest. Well, that's what we're trying to see now in just using these scriptures in the way that we're using them, and seeing that if we apply that to the rapture, then the rapture is already in process, and we as believers believe in the prophet's message. We've been taught it, and I tried to cover this morning. We believe that the descending of God has already transpired because the message has already been brought. We're not looking for another message. We're not trying to find another message, because that's what the shout was a message to get the people together, you know, get them ready. But we're not looking for another message to come or another messenger. We have the message, but we need to get into the message that the Lord may reveal the things to us that the message contains. Then, as I was trying to cover this morning, if we believe he's come, then where's he at? That's what I wanted to ask the people, see, that If the Lord's come, is he over here, is he over there, or where's he at? Well, see, then when you start talking like that, people get upset at you. They don't want you to make it that personal. You say, well, you teach that he was back yonder, or you teach that he will finally come one of these days, but what about what's he doing now? Didn't the prophet tell us that's the way man's always missed it? Looking back to what God has done and looking forward to what he will do and missing what he's doing right then. Well, then would it be any different in our day then? Wouldn't it be that way that you would come out the same way? Well, then we found this morning that we're not looking for the coming of the Lord because the Lord has descended with a shout. We're not looking for another message to bring the Lord to the earth. We know now how to get God to his people. As I kept referring to this morning and a lot previously, that Brother Brown said, why hasn't your reigns brought Christ to the church? See, they've claimed latter reign of this, latter reign of that, all kind of moves and all among the people. But why hasn't that brought Christ to the church? See, then you could get into a rigmarole of people saying, well, in our church we have divine healing every Sunday. We have miracles happening. We have gifts working in our little group of people up there in Lula, Georgia that sick and weak and run down and all kind of conditions and problems and not enough to get together to have meeting hardly. So then y'all claim to have the coming of the Lord. Well, now tell me what the coming of the Lord is. See, if the coming of the Lord is all the great manifestations, then we better go out there and join up with them. Because they would have more of the coming of the Lord than we have. So we better go join up with them. But we know it's not that. We know the coming of the Lord is not in that basis, because the prophet told us what his coming would be, that he would descend with a shout. Well, then the only way to get God to the people is to preach the message that the prophet has already preached. That's what the fivefold ministry is for, is to take the message the prophet's already preached and break it down to the people. And God has been gracious to us now for all of these years to allow us this time to where that we could get in the message and get established to where that we could be ready, you know, for whatever would come or go on. And he's given us that time, and he is coming. See, that part of the rapture has already took place. Sure, maybe some have never heard the message. Well, if they haven't heard the message and heard the word, I hope you was getting what I was driving at this morning, that when we hear the word, and we receive that word, to me, that's the coming of the Lord. Now, we're talking about the seals and things. We're not talking about just because you hear that there's a God, just because that you hear there's been a prophet come in the land and things like that, that a lot of people preaches as the message. Brother Brown's message was the seven seals to bring that. He says on the rapture book and other places that not in the years of preparation. I believe it's on page 22. When he sounds forth, not when he starts out. Now when he started out, it's on page 22, I know of the rapture. But there's more and more places where he'd say, not when he started out. See, he was welcomed among everybody when he first started. But then when he began to bring a message, look at Jesus, he was welcomed among everybody. But when he began to say, I and my Father are one, they started pulling away from him. When Brother Branham got down to the place that he preached those seals, when he come to the end of the seals, he said, when this gets out, he said, it'll drive thousands of my friends away from me. Well, when I come through preaching it, not just in a mimic of that, but I could see that preaching those seals would drive many of my friends away from me. Now you see it's happened, don't you? Now has it happened that way? Didn't I used to be a popular person among the message as far as being able to go and as people want me to come preach this away and that away and travel back yonder a good bit? Could have traveled a whole lot more than what I did. I just wouldn't go. But then all at once, see, then you just left out. Why? Because when you begin to say, I and my Father's one, or you begin to preach that the message has come to you, like it was to the prophet there that you can see and are standing in the place that the prophet was standing when he said, the message is sown down. He said, you say you've had rains and all that. He said, why haven't they brought Christ to the church? Then he went on to show what would bring Christ to the church, didn't he? The revealed word would be the only thing that would bring Christ to the church. All right, now that's what I'm talking about in the shout. When you receive the message, the shout, when you receive that message, that right there, now not, as I said, not just in his years of preparation or talking about one God or water baptism, that comes in the new birth. That ought to be settled there. But I'm talking about the real meat of the message that he brought about the seven seals, the things that he was to bring there, and all after the seals was preached was his message to be brought. When you start talking like that, people start pulling away from you. Because they can't comprehend what you're saying. They think you're trying to make something out of yourself. But I'm not. I'm trying to make just as much out of you this morning. I told you what I was looking at. I'm talking about you just as much as I am me. When the Lord reveals to you the Word, that's His coming. When He chooses to show you His Word, Paul said that when he chose, in other words, he chose him, he said, to preach the gospel. But see, it's something God chose. You didn't have anything to do with it. You wouldn't be here tonight by your own choice. It was something that God foreordained and knew that you'd be here, but you're not pulling nothing over him. He knows where you would be and what would be in your mind, your thoughts. If he's not, then he's not God. But what I want us to get is what I said this morning. When you start talking personal then about God being here, everybody wants a God off up yonder somewhere, because that way they don't have to be ashamed of their lives. You start talking about that God is right here with us. Well, you'll see women start buttoning up. I remember this certain brother used to come and preach years ago, and the women that went to the church, the word would get out. They'd say, you better wear your long dresses today. You better fix your hair right and everything, because Brother So-and-so's coming. Well, now what did Brother So-and-so have to do with it? But it's just a point of illustration to show you that when Brother So-and-so come, they wanted to dress right, because if they didn't, he'd condemn them with the word. Everybody wanted to act right, or they'd condemn them. But it's like one man has a truth to that, see. Like a man said one time when he started to go before Brother Branham, said he prayed for the Lord to get everything out of his life, because he said he didn't want to stand there before Brother Branham like that, with something in his life. See, he knew God could reveal to him what was in his life. So he wanted it clean. Well, we ought to be that way with one another. It shouldn't be any different between me and you than it would, Brother Daugherty, if you was Brother Branham and me standing here like I am. I ought to be just as concerned with being straight and honest and truthful and right in your sight as I should in Brother Branham's sight. Because I believe the same God is here today. By the revealed word, I believe, just like Paul said, that I say it by the word of the Lord, he told that. Well, I believe I can say the same thing by the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord is here and not off somewhere else. And I ought to be just as ashamed of my life in your presence. I ought to want to live godly in your eyes just as much as I'd want to live it if Brother Branham was standing here. Or would you want to do different if Brother Branham was here? Old Brother Branham had a gift. He could look down in there. Well, what would that have to do with the life he was living? Wouldn't you want to live? But see, now, the reason the children of Israel didn't want God to speak to them, if you caught what I was saying this morning, that brought a presence of God there. That brought God among them. That brought God right down into their presence. And they were scared. They were afraid. They had already done wrong. It wouldn't bother me to go up to the... You know, there's always a natural little feeling that anybody gets when you see a police officer go by, especially when you're driving down the highway. And you look up, and here comes a police officer, and you look down, you're running 55 miles an hour. There's a little tingle goes with that, because you know that the sorry rascal might get you for running 60 when you ain't running 55. And that causes a little tingle there. But you shouldn't have a fear of that police officer unless you're breaking the law. And we're talking about the right type and the right manner, because he's not going to arrest you for anything if he's a good man. He'll even give you grace to go over the speed limit a little bit. But see, we shouldn't fear unless we've got something to fear. Then when we've got something to fear, see, man has always wanted it to be on the basis. Why do you think they come up with a Trinitarian idea? They want something like, that's God, that piano seat, and I'm over here, you know, for illustration purposes. Man has always wanted something to stand between the two because he didn't want that God to be present with him. Ain't that the truth? Man's always wanted something to be between him and his Maker to cover for him. Well, that might be well and true. But the church has got to come to the place that it'd be the same way if that piano was there or it not being there. See, that's what I'm talking about in the coming of the Lord. That when you hear the word, then that is the descending of God. When you hear what's preached by the anointed preacher that's preaching the word to us, now, not some garbage can, false doctrine, and all these other things. That's not the coming of the Lord. And we know that. But the truly revealed word of the Lord, when that's being preached, that is the presence of the Lord right there. You tell me how it'd be anything else. When God is the Word, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, then in that Word, when that Word is present, then God is present. There's a scripture in there somewhere in the book of Acts, I believe it is, where, or it might have been back in the Gospels, but it says something to this order. It said, and the Word of the Lord was present to heal them. What was the matter before then? They weren't getting healed, maybe. So the scripture is putting it out blunt, says, and the word of the Lord was present. Look at David back there saying, Lord, said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now that's what God was looking at. And all the sin David committed, you don't find him writing over there later about how he done all that, do you? All that Abraham done, lied, give his wife away. That's not written over here in the New Testament about him. It said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Because God had his eyes on the Word. Well, see, as you receive the Word, we've done been taught that as we receive the Word, that's how we become the Word. As I told Brother Collie and them there sitting this afternoon at the house, I'm not preaching anything different than what I've already preached and Brother Moult preached back to us years ago there about how that your glorified body is built around your born-again experience. The Lord willing, very shortly, I wrote some notes back there a while ago, how we'll pick up some things that's been taught back there and bring them right into the message, like how you're born by the breath of God. It comes right down to the sixth seal, to where you're born by the breath of God. And the promise of God, the planning of the Word. See, we're preaching the same thing, but just bringing it on up into clearer understanding. Because the coming of the Lord is a revealing of His Word. All right, then we found that we're not looking for the Lord to descend, because we've got the message in our presence. We might not understand all of it. I ain't talking about that. We never will understand all of it. Now how are you going to go into rapture? If you think you got to understand all of it, we never will understand all of it. I can prove that by the prophet's message. Because he said Jesus would give us his message of cheer down through the endless ages after the rapture's done gone. All right, then you won't never understand all of this word while you're in the word, so we're not even talking about that then. That would settle that in case somebody would think, well, we got to have all the word. Oh, you think you got all the word? No, I got enough of it for right now. I got what I need for right now. The Lord's revealing it daily. Then as we walk daily, we get what we need for tomorrow, don't we? See, the word, the Lord, that is the word. Brother Brown said, this Bible, this word here, he said, that's God in letter form. You'll never understand God outside of the word. Satan can pervert, twist, tie up all kind of things outside the word, but when he comes to the word, he can't do anything with that. See, that word stops him. But now, we're not looking for his descending because we've already got the message now in our presence. I'm holding up the books to show you what I'm talking about. We've already got the message. The shout is in our possession today. We have that. So we're not looking for the shout to come. The shout's already come. What we're looking for now is something in that shout. Because the shout and the voice tie together in a minute so close until Jesus cried with a loud voice in the shout and the dead raised. See, they're right there together. Now, let's just watch that now, because what we're trying to see is we've already looked at his descending. That's the first phase of the rapture that we've talked about here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, that's the first stage of it. And he says in the next, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Now, what is that voice of the archangel? As I said, we don't believe in the shout being a hey, and the voice of the archangel being a great angelic sound that roars through heaven, and then a trumpet like reveille, you know, or something. We don't believe that way. Watch it there under this part of it, that Jesus, the same loud voice, page 32 of the rapture book, the same loud voice that raised Lazarus from the dead is the voice of the archangel. Now, what are we looking for in the voice of the resurrection? Now, that voice of the resurrection, I want you to watch it. It connects to you because it works through you, but in doing something to you, now watch the way I say it, in doing something to you, it will pull the dead from the grave. Now, to show that, let me ask you, what resurrected you, spiritually speaking, now not physically, see, because we ain't dead, but what resurrected you, spiritually speaking, from your unbelief? What resurrected you from the world of unbelief into the stage of being a Christian? And then you'll see what the voice of the resurrection is, because it'll have to come right there with that. Because it'll have to be something that involves you that will pull them out of the grave. Now, they don't have no ears to hear with. We'll get to it in a minute. They can't see what's going on. We're talking about their physical condition down there. They've done rotten and went back to the ground. But something in you and me will have to do a work, and it's not going out here and digging up the graves. As I said one time before, you know, the denominations, they send out big pictures of the resurrection, and you'll see angels with shovels digging up the graves, or people coming out of them, you know, and airplanes are coming across, and all at once they just crash into each other, and oh, the Lord's come. See, something's happened. All the pilots went in the rapture, and the rest of them just missed it. Brother Brown said it'd be so simple until they wouldn't even realize that we was gone. It done be over with. Do you think that they would miss this handful of people when thousands of people disappear every day all across the world? Thousands of people are killed daily and thrown to the wind and ground up and everything else and blown to bits, and they don't even know where they went. Do you think they'd miss 15 or 20 of us? Wouldn't even pay no attention to it. They'd go right on tomorrow just like they have today. And so will you if you miss it. So will I if I miss it. Go right on thinking we're all right. See, that's how simple. How many saw Jesus when he was here? How many believed on him when he was here? We're talking about the second coming of Christ. How many of you think will believe on him again? Now you show me scripture for a large group and I'll believe you. But the Bible says, fear not, little flock. Don't mean we've got to have a little flock just to be in the, you know, we could have more than that, but that don't mean it that way. I'm praying for God to send in some to us. Because it's always through getting in young people and people coming in and getting interested in the Word and wanting to talk about it that stirs up the people and keeps them built up and things. I wish it was where we could have services every night of the week for about the next 6 months. And you think I might be joking. I'm not. I'm talking dead serious. I wish we could. I know enough to preach. I wouldn't run out of something to preach with what little bit I know. I wouldn't run out of something to preach. You know that. I've been preaching quite a while and I ain't run out of nothing yet, so I wouldn't worry about it. I believe I could preach every service. I was thinking today how it would be a great thing to go to one of these churches somewhere if they'd really honestly invite you to them and spend about 2 weeks and take every night. I wouldn't bother me to work every day and preach all night to try to get the Word of the Lord out to the people. It would be such a great thing to go to these churches and just start off and just try to take them up through the message and try to lead them on and show them what the come out to this place that I'm talking to you about the Lord has already come. Brother Colley's back there. He's around. Do you know of anywhere they're talking about the Lord's already come? They're still looking for His coming, ain't they? They're not even talking about anything what we're talking about. It's like ABCs to what we're talking about in this. But now you think something in you now, in this resurrection, the voice of the archangel has to work through you. Now in your resurrection, in my resurrection from the world of unbelief as a sinner, a process took place, didn't it? We call it justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, coming to the new birth. But that was a process that God worked in us. Now, did the world hear that? Was there a great loud voice? Watch, after a while when we get over here to where Brother Branham said, Charlie, he said the same loud voice that called you as a sinner and told you to turn around. He said one of these days that same voice will call you and tell you to come up. Now, did Charlie hear a, hey? He didn't hear nothing like that. What did he hear? What did you hear when the Lord called you? I know a man that Brother Zimmer used to preach here. He knew of a brother, and he had went to a meeting somewhere, and Brother Branham said, told to that brother and said, the Lord had to drag you all the way here. And Brother Zimmer heard that about the man and everything. He went to the man, talked to him, knew him, you know, went to him, talked to him. He said, how'd you feel going to that meeting? He said, no different. He said, I just went. But Brother Branham said, the Lord had to drag you to this meeting. I've been many a place when the Lord had to drag me. And then I'd find it out. You ever been directed to the Lord to do anything? Brother Woodman, myself, I told you one time about it, how that we was riding around talking about how the Lord would lead us. And we went to Brother Hantus' house and couldn't find him because he was gone somewhere. And we wound up just driving the back roads and just traveling. Sometimes we'll just strike out and put 200 miles on a car, just driving little back roads, just up and down the road. It don't matter where you go. Just driving, talking. We was driving one day just talking like that and talking about how the Lord would lead you and you wouldn't even know it. Wound up down in Athens just searching back and forth. Wasn't trying to find Brother Hantus. We started out then after we got there, started talking about Brother Sweeting and where his church was at. I said, I think I know it's down one of these roads. We'd go down the road. I said, no, it ain't this road. Go back. We'd go down another one. Still wasn't paying no attention. First thing we know, we went by a place. And I said, there's somewhere right in here. He said, well, there's a name on a building. It says Jay Sweeting. I said, well, that's it. We backed up and there sat Brother Hantus' car. We thought he was going to be preaching that night. We went in and sat down. I said, while here he was, come in and sat down. And what he had done, he wasn't coming there to preach. He had come to see the man across the street over there about some plates that he is making for it and decided just to come on up to church. He thought one of us is going to preach. We was all sitting there looking at each other. See, the Lord will guide you and you won't know that it's being done. That's what I want you to get about the voice of the resurrection. That the voice of the resurrection is so simple until we stumbled all over it and missed it. When Jesus called Lazarus, now Brother Branham said the same loud voice, page 32, now you read it when you get home. If you want me to, I'll read it. Said the same loud voice back there that raised Lazarus from the dead. Now who raised Lazarus from the dead? You know the story of how Lazarus died and his sister and all of them sent word to Jesus to come and Jesus was gone on a journey and he wouldn't go and he finally said, well, I go wait Lazarus. And they said, well, Lazarus, he's sick. He said, well, that's fine, then just leave him alone. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. And when they got there, you remember his sister run out to him. One of them said, Lord, if you'd have been here, then our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, show me where you buried him at. And when he did, he said, stood there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, it's been well said by some, and I heard this when I was back in the Baptist church, that if Jesus hadn't singled out Lazarus, then there would have been a whole tomb, a whole graveyard full of people. If he just said dead, raised. But he singled out Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man come forth, he'd been dead 4 days. Now, did the world hear that great voice? Or was it just a man standing before a tomb that maybe a man down the hill in the graveyard never even heard that voice? But yet we think that it'll be so great until all the world hear about it. Now, it'll be so simple till the world will never comprehend what's happened. But what was that? What was that voice now? If we watch it like we've been trying to show it, that God does it, then He reveals what He's done, and then He'll make manifest what He's done. Now that's what we want to look at here. The rapture's in three stages. It's the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet. Now watch that, how that this morning I'm showing you the Lord's already come. Then He's already done it now. Now, let's watch and see if we can find that He will prove that He's already come. Because for the voice of the resurrection to be here, the Lord would have to be here. That's sensible, ain't it? That isn't going to take a revelation to understand that. All right, then it'll all tie together. And the loud voice... What's the loud voice? As I told you there on page 32, that it was the same loud voice. Second is a shout as a message getting the people together. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, that a loud voice in St. John 11, 38 and 44, that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together. Now there's your shout. And then the resurrection of the dead, to be caught up with it. Watch the three things takes place. Then he goes to explain on the three and what the third one is. But this is page 34. Therefore, the message calls the bride together. This is off the rapture. The shout and the trumpet. Now listen to what he's saying. The same morning, with a loud voice, we know who that is and what he's talking about, the raising of Lazarus. The same morning, with a loud voice, he screamed out with that shout. Now you see what he's saying? The same morning with a loud voice, talking about Jesus calling Lazarus out, he screamed out with that shout and voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice he cried. What did Jesus cry with? Now, with a loud voice he cried. Did he get out there before Lazarus and say, "Aah!" Cried? Now we know the Bible don't say that, does it? The Bible says he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now what called Lazarus from the grave? The shout. The shout was the message we found, which is the word of the Lord. Now, you following me? The shout is the word of the Lord. The message is the word of the Lord. Then if the message being the word of the Lord, then when Jesus, here Brother Brown said, the same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out with that shout. He didn't go get something else. He didn't pick up something else to do it with. He done it with what he had. He was the Word, wasn't he? In the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. Then the shout was there. You won't have the voice of the resurrection unless you have the shout. You see what I'm driving? Unless we have the shout and get it right, you don't have the voice of the resurrection. Because it'll have to be the shout that produces the voice of the resurrection. It's not the voice of the resurrection producing the shout. No, you go it backwards. The shout. You've got to have the shout. Jesus had the shout. Watch, he had the word. You see what I'm driving? He had the word. And with that, let me not change what Brother Branham said, but let me just paraphrase it in plainer language. The same morning, with a loud message, he called Lazarus from the dead. That was the voice of the resurrection. Now, is that changing what he said when he said the same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out with a shout? We know Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't just shout and cry or scream. He said something. There was something he said. Now, as I might have said it here, it might have been up Brother Woodby's when I was preaching on this. One time there was a man's child died. You remember the story in Brother Branham? This child died and the man went to Brother Branham the man went to Brother Branham and he said, "Brother Branham, I want to know about my son." And Brother Branham searched the regions of the lost and all everything. And he come back to the man and he said, "Your child or your son is at rest, but said, I can call him back." Now, did he say it that way? He said, "I can call him back if you want to." The man said, "I don't want you to call him back." Well, that was a sensible thing to do. I wouldn't either if he's at rest. All right. What happened there? Did Brother Branham go out and search all the regions of the lost? Did he stand here and his spirit go out and search all over the world? We get into spiritualism, no matter what. He contacted the Word. And the Word already had it searched out. One time he was talking about a child dying. He said, you know what that is? He said, something has to go out in there and get that soul that's done gone on out into the unknown and bring it back to that body. Now, what could do that outside the Word? You see what I'm driving at? When Jesus was dying, now watch. This is on page 35. It's quoting from Matthew 27, verse 20, around verse 45 on through about 50-something. When Jesus was dying on Calvary, you remember he cried out, Eli, Eli, Sebastian, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then they run with the sponge and the thing, try to give him vinegar and all. And then it says, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice. Now I'm reading out of the rapture book, you read out of the Bible. Yielded up. A loud voice. Loud voice. Watch when Jesus dying screamed with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Now watch the rest of the scripture. From the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints that slept arose. Now that looks like they arose right there the minute he was on Calvary. Now watch the next verse. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. Now it doesn't mean that Jesus stood there and screamed with a loud voice and they come up out of the grave then. So we get the scripture rightly divided. And we see that the scripture interprets itself in saying that they didn't come out when Jesus died right there. It was nearly 3 days later when they came out in the resurrection. See, rightly dividing the word, we can follow the shout. Because Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Something he said there. Maybe not through audible sounds, but through what he said, brought the dead from the grave. That was the voice of the resurrection. Alright, then that shout is what you're concerned with. See why I wanted to put so much time on it this morning? The shout is what you're concerned with. The shout is the message. If you don't have the message, you don't have the voice of the resurrection. What is the voice of the resurrection? It's the revealed Word. The voice of the resurrection is the Word, God speaking to you. What else would it be? What else would be the voice of the resurrection that wakes up the dead? If it wakes the dead, it means the dead has to be connected to that some way. It's not Jesus going around saying, hey, wake up, wake up. There ain't a spoonful left. It's something in the Word being revealed. You're talking about the sleeping dead. You're talking about the seed singular Christ that's already died and went on. Then they're the Word, aren't they? And the Word that we have connects with that Word. See, I can see the voice of the resurrection right there and what it will do. When we preach the Word, like, let me go back to the illustration again now. You didn't hear a great rumbling, loud voices and all kind of thing went on when you was resurrected out of your unbelief, did you? You might have been like Lazarus, Elijah, and heard a still small voice. But when you was resurrected out of your unbelief, then that was the voice of the resurrection already at work. He was using the shout. He was telling you you're a sinner, the shout, the message. He was telling you what it took to be born again. You see why Jesus cried with a loud voice. With the shout he cried. That's what he cried with. He didn't go get something else to do. He done it with the message that he had. Now, then every person from here, where we are, all the way back to there, they are the Word for their time, aren't they? Were they not the Word for their time? Luther, Wesley, Pentecost and all, the disciples and all, they were the Word for their time. All right, then Word comes to Word. Then the voice of the resurrection would be the revelation to me and you that brings that Word all together in its complete form. Are we not supposed to have all the Word in this day? Now, are we not supposed to have all the Word in our day? Then wouldn't all the saints that died be connected to that Word? Wouldn't they be connected to the earthly voice of the resurrection? The revealed Word. God does it, and then He reveals it. See, He's already brought the shout. The voice of the resurrection is the revelation of the Word to you. Because that person died, the Bible says, dying in faith. Now, how did they die in faith? They died in the faith of Jesus Christ. Then when we come to the place in Jesus Christ in faith, we'll bring them out. I believe right now, church. I believe that for a long time, I preached it years ago. It's back there on tape. I preached on this same message years ago and told you how that I believe we had enough faith then to raise Luther, Wesley, and the Azusa Street people. But our problem was we didn't have the faith of the fathers to go back and contact their faith to bring them out. You remember the messages? If you don't, that raised Lazarus will raise me and you. And he said, Charlie, the voice that told you to turn around from sin, that same voice, he said, one of these days will call you up. Well, now, will Charlie hear? Was that a voice screaming loud or hollering or whatever? John on the Isle of Patmos, he said he heard a voice like a trumpet. Now, what was the interpretation of that when the prophet preached it? Was that a voice like a trumpet going to doot, to doot, to doot, and John had to understand what to doot, to doot meant? The prophet said the voice was clear and distinct. That's what it meant by a trumpet. If any of you got your winders, you better go roll them up. It's going to rain tonight. Now think about it. The voice of God is that shout, the revealed Word. Now, the Word of the Lord is revealed. And when it's revealed, there is your voice of the resurrection. That's what ties me and you together. That, me and my wife, we're one that way. But she's a Christian, I'm a Christian, that ties us together that way. See, then that's what it is. It's the voice. It's Christ. The Word of the Lord. Church, what else can I say to get you to see that? What could I say? We say, oh, if we just had something to believe it with. I asked the Lord when I started preaching, I said, let it start raining before we quit. That's what I asked him. I said, let it start raining before it quits. Just to tell people to see this. Well, then, can you see? Christ is doing everything to try to get us to see. It's so simple. But aren't we taught that that is the simplicity? We're not trying to search out of the message and trying to find a great some secret that'll pull them dead out of the grave. Just get in the message. That is the secret. The secret is the Word in you. Now watch. Wasn't it the Word in you that raised you from your unbelief?
Is that right? Did the word that you received raise you from your unbelief as a sinner into being a Christian? Is it not the word that we receive that raises us from being a baby in Christ unto a full-grown manifested son? Isn't it by the word that we receive? Then what are we looking for in the voice of the resurrection? The voice of the resurrection is the word revealed. That ties you with every Christian that has ever been in the world. That gives you the same faith every Christian ever had. That ties together every person with you. And when your faith reaches that place, then they must come. What kept Jesus from the resurrection? Brother Branham explained, he said the soul went down, preached to souls in prison, you know, and all. The spirit went back to God, he gave it, and then God released the spirit. It came down, connected with the soul, and it came up, connected with the body, and he resurrected. What kept him from resurrecting for 3 days? He was God. He could come out of there when he wanted to. But something kept him from doing it, and the prophet called it a bar. Oh, he said he was barred out of from resurrecting. He said, cause the word said. The word is what kept Jesus from raising. What keeps the church from raising right now? Some are not in the word. Do you see that? Some are not in the word. It might be us. We might be the last ones getting the word. See, then some are not in the word. That's what's wrong. We're barred out of resurrection because we were barred out of resurrection because we didn't have the word to get born again. We're barred out of resurrection from just a Christian, a babe in Christ, to a full-grown son. What? Because the word hadn't come. They couldn't have that in the days of Luther and Wesley and all. Why? Because the word hadn't come. But here we are with the word. The word sowed down in the church. And then when the word was sown down, listen, Brother Branham said on this book of the Rapture, he said, talking about the seals, he said, that's when this message come forth. What? What's Brother Branham's whole message? The seals. The whole message is the rapture. That's what it is. The rest of it's faith of the fathers, getting back to where the Bible was taught by them and all. Then this message came forth when the seals were broken. And I know exactly where the seals broken, knowing exactly then where the voice of the resurrection comes in, right under the sixth seal. Because Jesus at Calvary fulfilling the sixth seal, wasn't it, when he hung on Calvary? Wasn't that the sixth seal being fulfilled? Didn't the prophet teach that? Well, then right there at Calvary, under that sixth seal being fulfilled, you have the voice of the resurrection to raise the Old Testament saints. The other was just a one-man raising. But the prophet put them together showing it was the same voice with one shout, one voice. Brother Branham says Jesus does all three in his descending. Then it's the voice of the resurrection raising us from our unbelief to start with. Then raising us from our denominational traditions and things into the Word to make us manifested sons and daughters of a living God. Then resurrection by the Word of the seals being planted. You see what I'm talking about? The sixth seal was Calvary. And there Jesus was crying out in a loud voice. There was your shout. There was the voice of the resurrection. Then it's the revealed word that connects us all together. That's what makes me and Brother Colley brothers in Christ. I like what Brother Link said last night at the minister's meeting. I thought it was a good point. He said, me and Brother Woodby there, he says, we're brothers in Christ. He said, I love him, he loves me as brothers in Christ. He said, if it wasn't for Christ, we probably wouldn't love each other too much. Well, I could probably agree with both of them. But that was a good point. He said if it wasn't for Christ, he said we wouldn't be brothers. Well, see, Brother Collie and I, Brother Darty and I, we're natured different in things. If it wasn't for Christ, I wouldn't know about Brother Collie. He wouldn't know about me because Christ is what brought us together. But we're brothers in Christ. It's Christ Jesus. It's the Word that brought us together. Now listen, like in the natural like that, it might be that the opposite, the way might work opposite, like the two little dogs, you know, the positive and negative drawing a different thing. I don't understand all of that stuff. I ain't even talking about it. But I'm talking about what works in the gospel. The Word comes to the Word. Like attracts like. The Word comes to the Word. Then what drove us together, Brother Collie? The Word. Why hasn't the rest been driven to that? Now you answer that question. Why hasn't the rest been magnetized to that? You remember the prophet when he went into the metal factory? And how that he was talking about how that there was metal laying all over the place and all kind of things. And a whistle blowed. It was in this machine shop thing, you know. And about that time, here come this big, they pushed a button and a big magnet come down through there. And the floor was just covered with metal shavings and scrap iron and different things. And this metal thing come right down through the middle of it. And it was magnetized and it just all run to it. And they just dumped it over into a thing. And it went into making another hub or whatever he's talking about when he was making it. Said he looked down on the floor and said there was a piece of aluminum laying there. He asked the man, he said, why didn't it pick up that piece? You know. He said, well, that's aluminum. Said it's not magnetized to the machine. Then there was a piece of metal and he said, well, why didn't it pick that piece of metal up? He said, because it's bolted to the floor. See, it couldn't bring that up. It had done anchored itself away. Why is it then that people have went away when I've tried to just stay with the truth and tried to do everything to get them to come to the truth and they just keep going away because they're not magnetized to it? That's true, isn't it? They're not magnetized to it. They might be a piece of metal. It might look good, but they're either bolted to the floor by their own belief or unbelief, or either they're a piece of aluminum or something. Why is it magnetized? Why is it that Brother Woodby and I have just finally been left almost alone as far as walking with two churches we're talking about? Talking about church to church. Because we're magnetized to the same magnet. And listen, church, I've said harder things to Brother Woodby over the years and some things that he was wrong about in natural life than I have to any of the rest of my brothers and sisters I've walked with. You know, down through time. Well, why hasn't he got mad at me when the rest have? Because there's a magnet there that's called the Word that magnetizes us together. And all the Christians down from the very beginning all down through the church ages, every one of them have the same Holy Ghost, the same Word in them. And they're all magnetized to the same magnet. When God sweeps to the cross, now listen, this end time has to produce the magnet, don't it? Isn't this church in the end time to produce the magnet? Aren't we to produce all the Word? Then all the Word would be the magnet. Then you think about what's being said. I just want to stop because if I go any more, we'll take too long in the voice of the resurrection. Maybe I need to study a little bit on it too. But listen, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. With the shout that he had. You see what the prophet was saying? The message that he had is what raised Lazarus. What was it that raised those people from the dead when Brother Branham would call for them like that? Was it the man?
Oh, no. It was the Word calling for it. It was the Word that does the calling. The Word is the shout. And the revelation to you and to me is the voice of the resurrection. How much more could I say? What else could I say? The Word revealed is the voice of God. Have you ever heard His audible voice? I haven't. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Maybe He'll never choose to speak with me in an audible voice. But I have heard His voice through the Word. We might find out that one of these days, a lot of the things that happened in the Bible might not have been God talking so loud that Zipporah could hear Him and Moses talking. I think that's her name, wasn't it? His wife. It might have been just a still, small voice inside of Moses. It might have been the Word that was revealed to Moses. Instead of God saying, "Moses, come over here, I want to talk to you." It might have been something in Moses that just said, "Turn aside, Moses. Now it's time to go. You tried with all of your might to deliver Israel and failed. Now, come and I'll go and deliver them." Might have been just a little voice that he heard from inside of him. As I said, he said, "Charlie, the same loud voice that called you and told you to turn around, one of these days will call you and tell you to come up." Was that to Charlie a great sounding trumpet of a voice? Or was it just a still, small voice that spoke to him? Was it just a still, small voice to you when you was raised out of your unbelief into being a Christian? Wasn't it God just simply bringing the Word to you and revealing it to you? Wasn't that what it was? Anything outside of that, Satan can copy. But he can't copy that. Wasn't it the still, small voice that just raises you up through this faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness? Through what? Through the revealed Word. Being born again by the incorruptible Word of God, something's being done. Body being formed around your born-again experience. Something's being done. Seeing a church come to that place. But just think now how simple that is. And yet the world misses it. And the people of this message are missing it. You'll never come out to understand that until you come through the seals. I'll promise you that. I mean, that's no problem. I just give you that as a promise. You'll never come out to understand where you're at until you come through the seals. Maybe some of you need to do like some of these others. Maybe some of them needs to go back and listen to what's been preached for quite a while. You say, "I just ain't got time." Which one you concerned with, your soul? Oh, I just ain't got time to go back and listen to them and tell you what you concerned with. You got time for everything else. Maybe you ought to go back and listen to see what the Lord has told us. Maybe I even need to go back and listen to see what the Lord has told us. I believe we're further up the road than what we think. That's what I'm trying to preach it like this. God's already done it. He's revealing now to us what He's done. And how close then is the manifestation? How close? Think on these things, the Bible says. Let's stand together. Father, we know Your Word to be true. We appreciate You. We appreciate You sending the rain. Lord, if nothing more than just a shower to take away the heat. But we believe You'll send us rain for our crops. That You'll give us, Lord, this day our daily bread. that you, O Lord God, this old flesh, the world cries out. Each little blade of grass, an ear of corn or grain of corn, stalk and all, cries out for moisture from heaven. And we, the church of the living God, cry out for moisture onto these old dead bones and bodies of ours. Let it be, Lord, that you would send that trumpet to gather us to the marriage supper. We believe your word. We ask you to grant us understanding. Forgive us. Lead us. Speak to your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn. If anyone has a need, then the altar's open.
Yes.
Let's try number 36, Showers of Blessing. We appreciate what rain the Lord has given us tonight. Appreciate the rain in the spiritual. Because I believe the Lord will give us showers. I look more now than ever for the Lord to come and back up his word. I feel tonight like that the Lord is wanting to back it up right here for whatever you'd want. You ask him for it and believe it. And see if he won't give it to you. If a man can stand on a pulpit and change suits every 10 minutes or 5 minutes and talk to people about money and tell them that God will give them money and they get money, you know that happened, then surely God will give you the desires of your heart. Surely he'll hear a Christian. What have you got on your heart tonight? There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be season. Anyone else? Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Our little brother's got an eye problem. And son, you know I've told many times, Lord, heal my eyes, and I didn't have to wear glasses. Well, we don't ask him for that. We just ask him to heal what bothers him. If he'll heal the eyesight, then that's fine too. Because I hated to wear them. I know what it is. I have to wear glasses, push down on your nose and everything all the time. You're always pushing them up. But just ask the Lord what you want. And you believe you got it. And accept it. Now, it'll be on the basis of what you can believe. I'll pray we can believe with you, but it's on what you can believe. So let's just all bow our head and pray with our little brother. Father, our little brother has an eye problem. Something's wrong on his eyes, it's red. Lord, that means there's something happening. We pray that you'd reach down and take this away from our little brother here. We commit it unto you. We know you've already healed him. We believe that you'll reveal that he's healed. Because you said in your word that if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed anything, it'll even be forgiven. We believe your word, Lord. Believe that our little brother believes it. Now let it be unto him according to his faith. In Jesus' name. Let's go believing the word. You have a need? There shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again over the hills and the valley. Father, we believe what our sister's asking for her son. Lord, that you would bring him to the Word and that you'd draw him to yourself. We just, Lord, believe your Holy Spirit will go and be present with him wherever he's at and speak to him. Lord, we have children also that are lost. We believe for Wade and June with our sister. You said if any two would agree touching anything. Our son and daughter-in-law, Lord, they need you. Her children, they need you. We believe with our sister for her request. She believes with us for ours. In Jesus' name, we agree on this, believing your word. Amen. Showers we plead, there shall be showers. Anyone else? Blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Our brother, you know, we asked prayer for him because he's had some chest problems. Being of age, all like that, where we have problems and time and trouble, it can be anything. But we don't believe it's anything. We believe it's just something that the devil's hindering him with. He's got to go Tuesday for a complete physical. So just pray. You just pray with him. We'll just pray and believe that everything will be all right. But now we don't want to just say, well, let's just pray and believe and everything will be all right Tuesday, and they won't find nothing. Well, now something's causing the chest pain. Well, let's pray that they'll find that, or the Lord just take it away before then ever comes. Because we don't want to just pray that they don't find nothing and he goes on with the chest pains. We want the chest pains gone, don't we? We want the symptoms gone. So let's just pray and believe that the Lord will take care of it. And they won't find anything Tuesday. We'll just pray that away. But we want the symptoms come. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother. Come as the song said, and now honor thy word. You said if any two would agree, he wants to be healed. And I agree with him, Lord, that you are a healer, that you've already healed him. Our brothers and sisters all joined together in faith, believing you that it's already done. In Jesus' name. Just go believing it. Anyone have a need that would like anything from the Lord? Go believing what you ask. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Just go believe in the Word now for what you have need. Thank Him for it. Don't just say, well, I don't know where I got it. Thank the Lord for it. If you have to wait on the healing or the manifestation or whatever, thank the Lord for it. Say, by His stripes, I'm healed. Believe the Word. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, remember to pray one for another. Brother Woodby might be with us next weekend. I don't know for sure. But he said he'd call me and let me know. So just pray that the Lord would guide all of us. Father, help us, dismiss us now from one another. Protect the people on the highway as they travel. Thank you for your showers that you sent. Thank you for your loving grace. Lord, thank you most of all for you. Because we love you and cherish your presence. We want to be guided by your grace. Forgive our sins. Cover us by your blood. And help us to walk forward in thee. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Take the night.